Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Twitch is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twitch. This Week in Computer Hardware with Ryan Schreff. Episode 51 for December 26th, 2009. Someone's got into the eggnog. This Week in Computer Hardware is brought to you by the new voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, music search, and turn-by-turn navigation. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. It's time for Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware, Episode 51, our holiday edition, in which we exhort you all to go out and spend. Here with us today, Ryan Shrout from PC Perspective. Hey, Ryan.
Yes. How are you doing?
I guess in your line of work, it's kind of an occupational hazard that you probably do, in fact, want to buy everything you see.
Yeah, kind of much like you.
Yep.
We tend to buy a lot of stuff. We are lucky that when we do a lot of reviews, we get a lot of the stuff anyway. But I always keep the testing stuff separate from our own personal hardware.
Right.
So usually it's like, that's why I've probably purchased a half dozen of those Intel SSDs and that kind of stuff over the course of the last year. So
Dvorak,
it does get expensive.
Dvorak took my X25M.
Yeah.
I heard
that.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to put it in, to be honest.
You gave it to him, though,
I
right?
gave it to him. I really didn't have anything to put it in. So I just said, you know, I love
Merry Christmas.
John. Merry Christmas here. Have this. And remember, he was whinging about the fact that it was not very fast and stuff because he'd put it in a netbook. And
right.
so I said, put this in. Build a Windows 7 machine with a fast bus. Actually, SATA 6 gigabits would be the best, wouldn't it?
Yep.
And we'll see if he does that.
He says, available for anything yet, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, happy holidays. I see you're wearing red, as am I. We're getting ready for Christmas. You got the family in the house?
Yep, hence why I'm not in my usual location for anybody that's watching video.
Well, we'll make this a quick one because there's not all that much to talk about anyway.
Slow week for news a little bit.
Sure. Well, why don't we get started? Intel's Adam with Pine Trail.
Yeah, so this is kind of like the big news of the week. Adam, being a well-known processor architecture, we know what it can do, we know what it can't do, we know what it's good at, what it's not good at. It's good at being cheap. It's not good at very high-performance applications. And we had talked about Pine Trail on previous episodes, I'm sure.
What is Pine? Yeah, it's so familiar, but I'm sorry.
Pine Trail. So Pine Trail is essentially the code name that Intel gave for its next-generation Atom architecture. What has changed from that generation to this generation is essentially that they've gone from a 3-chip solution to a 2-chip solution.
Mm.
So instead of having the processor and a north bridge and a south bridge, you have a processor and a single chipset. They're calling that Tiger Point is the code name. The real name is the NM10 Express for whatever naming that is. Yeah, and so the diagram you're showing there kind of illustrates it. And how they did this was they moved the Pineview memory. They moved the memory controller and the graphics, integrated graphics, from the North Bridge directly onto the processor itself. So now the Atom processor is, when you look at it from a purely technology standpoint and what they were able to do, it's probably like technically the most advanced x86 processor today. It's not the fastest by a long shot. But
is that just because of clock speed, or is it L2 cache? What is it that keeps it from...
It's the architecture itself. It's the in-order architecture. It's just not built to handle that kind of data. I mean, they could clock it up, and that would obviously improve performance.
So it doesn't do out-of-order execution. Does it do branch prediction, that kind of thing?
Yeah. It does some of that. But think of this more along the lines of an original Pentium 2 architecture processor running at 1.66 gigahertz, but much lower power consumption. So their goal was low power consumption for longer battery life, as opposed to getting better performance in the same power envelope, which is what we saw with Core i7 and now Core i5 and that kind of stuff. So, you know, the desktop computer gives you a lot of area to work with in terms of what you can build and create inside that power envelope. And in a netbook, something that you want to be really cheap, so it has to be easy to manufacture, it has to be reliably manufactured, high yields, that kind of stuff. You want to make sure you have something that's going to run reliably, and that's what the Atom architecture was built to do, was to go in these $299 netbook laptop computers. So, but in what you get with Pine Trail, so it integrates graphics and memory controller onto the processor. And it's not even on the same substrate. It's actually physically on the same die. And it's the first processor to really do that. And so from a technical perspective, from an informational kind of being a tech geek, that's pretty cool. It doesn't do much for performance, though. In fact, it does very, very little to improve processor performance over the previous generation Atom processors, which is, I guess, it's obviously the big drawback here. So what was, when you got an Atom-based machine, when you got a netbook, when I got a netbook, what was the main complaint people had about these? It wasn't that the form factor wasn't great. It wasn't that the battery life wasn't as spectacular as many had hoped. It was really that performance wasn't where a lot of people had hoped it would be. For a lot of things, it does mean the Atom will do word processing fine. It will do basic internet browsing fine. But as you know, and as I know,
it's a sluggard.
It's slow. I mean, and the best example is Flash video.
Hulu.
What you are doing right now.
Can't do it. Yeah.
What you watch on YouTube.
That's partly because Flash sucks. I mean, Flash is like ridiculously piggy.
I guess you have to give it that. I still look at Flash as being an enabler more than a detriment to what we're doing. I mean,
without Flash, you wouldn't be watching. So I'm not knocking it.
Right. But it's definitely the most.
And it is a GPU issue, though, isn't it? I mean, I guess not, because Flash isn't on the GPU except in Flash, the new Flash, the beta.
Yeah, the Flash beta, the Flash 10.1 beta is, and it's still kind of limited a little bit there in what systems it actually works with. So
I noticed they're not selling it for speed. They're selling it for lower power consumption and package size reduction.
Yep.
They're not selling this as a powerhouse.
Right. And the initial performance indicators coming out from reviews of these netbooks and stuff really put it almost exactly the same. The clock speeds are the same.
Yeah.
1.66 gigahertz, single core hyper-threaded for netbooks, a single core and a dual core version for net tops for the small form factor desktop machines. So really CPU performance is about the same. So that to me was the biggest letdown. I thought moving the memory controller, moving the graphics core maybe they were going to try to get some more performance out of it. But instead what they did, and maybe there's something to be said for this, instead what they did was they really targeted battery life and cost. So it's two chips instead of three chips, means it's cheaper for OEMs to build systems around it. It uses 20 to 25% less power at the same workloads and on the same designs. So that should translate to anywhere from 15 to 20% additional battery life, which is good. And the initial indicators do show that Pine Trail netbooks are running for longer on the same battery as previous generation netbooks. That's a plus. You know, if you can get 7.5 hours.
That's a selling point. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, people who buy netbooks aren't really complaining about performance, are they?
I don't think they are, but I think what I think is unfortunate.
I mean, people like you and me might.
Well, what happens is, and this was something that came up from, I think the guys at NVIDIA were really the first ones who pointed this out. They made a comment to the effect of, Intel is effectively creating this entire user base of these computers that will not be able to handle next generation software. That they are essentially creating a new genre of throwaway machines, right? And what happens
That's not
is
good.
A user buys a netbook. You know, I just this evening, my stepmother was asking me about the Verizon. Sign up for the subscription, you get the free netbook. She's like, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I wouldn't let that be your only notebook if you're doing anything, you know, work-related on it. But if you needed an extra machine around the house, that's fine. But what users, you know, basic users will do is they will go out, they'll buy this machine, they'll just think, hey, I got a cheap laptop. They'll go to YouTube. Maybe they'll try to hit that HD button and then they'll start getting choppy frame rates. They'll come to live.twit.tv and they'll get choppy frame rates there, and they'll start complaining about how crappy YouTube is or how crappy Twit.
Well, and you really said something very telling. You said something I think even more important. Even if they're satisfied in every respect today, they won't be tomorrow. And I think that that's a very important thing to tell them. You're kind of buying something that's so slow and low, and already it's already, you know, at the end of life.
Right.
It has no headroom at all for future uses.
Yep.
That's a really important distinction to make. People don't think about that.
Correct. So if you're comfortable with the idea of a throwaway machine, because you can't upgrade these, you can't upgrade the processor on them or anything like that. You know, you can add more memory to it, but that's only going to do, it's not going to do very much for you in terms of performance in these types of applications. If you're okay with that, which I think a lot of people are these days, you spend $209 on a phone, you could spend $209 on a laptop and keep it for a year and be done with it.
Right.
I don't think netbooks have been out long enough for us to hit this cycle.
No, and people don't think that way. They're thinking they're buying a laptop.
Right.
I really think
right.
they think they're buying a laptop.
And when people start realizing, hey, I bought this $299 machine and it doesn't work anymore, and I can upgrade to this newer one a year and a half later, well, now I've got a... What about all these programs that I've installed?
We're going to hear a lot of pain. Yeah, we're going to hear a lot of pain in a year.
Yeah, I agree. So,
do we blame Intel? Doesn't Intel really kind of hate this platform because it's low margin for them? We don't really blame Intel. We blame ASUS.
We blame
customers for demanding it.
Exactly. We blame people for buying it. We blame people for, you know, and we're at fault here too, because I talk about netbooks a lot. I think they have a lot of upside, but they have a lot of negative side. Maybe we're not pointing out those negatives enough. You know, you're right. Intel didn't want to get in this market. They didn't want to have to build Atom, but they saw what VIA was doing with the nano processor.
It was a defensive move.
A year, 2 years ago, and they're like, well, we're not going to let them have any kind of market share. We'll make this up. And they used to try to keep people from building systems around it.
And you know, Dell and HP and MSI, none of these people really want to be building these either.
Well, nobody that has good levels of market share today wants to build them.
They're undercutting their high margin items with this low margin, low profit item.
But look what Acer has done. Acer has become one of these top tier companies because of things like
that's interesting.
And Asus as well. I mean, Asus was not
made itself a player. Absolutely.
The first Asus laptop that was in Best Buy was the EPC 4G, right? I would feel really sorry for anybody who's still actively using that as their primary computer today. But now they have better machines in Best Buy.
You said you feel really, really sorry for people who are... I tried to use this. I tried. This is the original netbook.
Yep.
And I didn't use it for a minute because it was impossible.
Does that one have Windows XP on it at least?
Yeah, it came with... that's a good question. No, I think it came with Linux on it.
Because my first one had the Linux OS on it,
I think it has Linux on it.
And it's like, that would be something
I would
give
to
my 8-year-old nephew.
Yeah.
But
the screen was too small. The keys were tiny. The layout was arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
But it did have the same, you know, horsepower, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, essentially. I think that might be a VSC 3.
We haven't gone anywhere since then.
No, and that's really both because of Microsoft, too. I mean, the reason our clock speeds are stuck at 1.66 gigahertz is because that's what Microsoft says you have to have in order to get the cheap, low-cost version of Windows 7 on it.
Ah.
Right? So you can't have above
Intel says
result.
You can't have more than a gigahertz of RAM, gigabyte of RAM. Microsoft says we won't give
Microsoft
you...
Microsoft is a gigabyte of RAM, too.
Microsoft's a gigabyte of RAM, too?
Mm-hmm.
Bastards.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, everybody just buys them and buys another gig of memory.
Right.
So, to me... Really,
not everyone. I bet you the real market for this doesn't put more memory in it.
You're probably right.
It's not the price. It's only $10. It's just they don't know how.
Right. Agreed. So, you know, I think...
Just plugging in my Asus EPC. I'm just curious. I haven't booted this thing in a year.
They're well-built machines. I don't have anything against them that way. It's just, I mean, how old is that really?
Yeah.
A year,
I don't
18
know.
Months.
I don't remember.
I can look up the first EPC article that we did. And the problem is, what you're going to find is I mistype, of course, the first time, came out in, well, okay, it's been 2 years. October of 2007 was our first EPC 4G review.
Oh, yep. So it's been a while.
At the Linux.
And
so
it's, got, it's the Linux, yeah.
So, but when, if, with a normal laptop, don't you expect to be able to still use it in 2 years?
Yeah.
And I think yes. Maybe not to the same degree as a lot of other consumers, but I think unfortunately what people are going to find is when they come up to these two-year anniversaries of these EPCs and these mini notes and that kind of stuff, that they may not be as nice as they'd hoped.
Right.
Right? When new Flash, when the new HTML5 video comes out, how's that going to work on these types of processors and that kind of stuff too? So
I did like this when it came out. I remember Patrick Norton said it's unusable, but he's got big fingers.
I took it on one work trip and never did that again because of the keyboard. I mean,
I think brought it out here, as a matter of fact.
it was okay, but you know, again, I wouldn't do anything. But the thing is, nothing has really changed. It's getting cheaper and better battery life. So they're going to put these in all of the upcoming netbooks that you see at CES. They're all going to be Pine Trail based because right. It's saving people money. It's extending battery life. It's really a win-win for that. It's just no improvement in performance. So
I'm going to make Colleen use this. She'd be the guinea pig. Hey, yeah. We're going to come back. Believe it or not, as silly as it is, as silly as Pine Trail is, all the big guys are doing Pine Trail netbooks. We'll talk about the first Pine Trail netbooks and what you can expect for them in just a little bit, but I do want to thank our friends at Ford for sponsoring the show. Ford Sync is, of course, that great hands-free Bluetooth phone, audio, GPS unit built into most Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury, Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. What a great tool this is. We're going to be driving a Ford Sync-equipped Flex down to a CES. No, it's not a Flex, is it? It's even better, a Lincoln MKS. I'm so excited.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. That's going to be we'll take you for a ride. That's going to be our car of the CES. That'll be the Twitmobile at CES. So come over. If you see it, hail it. We'll give you a lift and we'll show you the Ford Sync. It's great. You get in the car and you press the steering wheel button. It goes boom. And you say, play, This Week in Computer Hardware 51. And it starts playing. It can USB in there, so it can handle an iPhone or a Zune or an iPod. In fact, I keep an older iPod in there with an 80 gig iPod in there all the time, plugged in. 80 gigs of music. It's got everything, all my books, everything. It's wonderful. Hands-free dialing, of course, works beautifully with any number of phones. 911 assist. I got in the wife's, I won't say the brand name. She's got a Japanese car and tried to, it's a brand new one, by the way, 2010 model. Tried to set up the GPS. She was going down the airport and the Bluetooth. I said, I gave up. I said, you need sync. Well, sorry, you got to have a new Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury vehicle. Find out more about Ford Sync. Go to syncmyridepodcast.com or go to your local Ford dealer and say, I want to test drive Ford Sync. Or come to CES and take a ride with us in our Lincoln MKS. Ford Sync. syncmyridepodcast.com. It's all booted up, It's not, it's cute. I could see why when this came out, this is the original EPC, people were kind of jazzed by it. It was cheap. Mm-hmm. It was, it worked. It was kind of cute. It was neat. It's only since then we've kind of rejected it out of hand as being just kind of unusable.
Yeah. Style-wise, it's not the best looking thing we've ever seen.
It's clunky. It's cheap. Cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah. They have progressed quite a bit since then in terms of build quality and style and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that actually leads very well into talking about the first photos and specs we are seeing of the new Pine Trail netbooks as they are coming out. We actually have an Asus 1005 PE on its way to us for testing and review, but also MSI and Dell both announced new models. You can see there the Dell has multiple colors. We're talking pink and blue and green.
They're
and
really going white. For the consumer market. They are. Yes. They know who's buying these things.
Yep. Now, the interesting thing about the Dell ones is they all use the Intel Atom N450 processor, which is the Pine Trail platform CPU that we just talked about, has the integrated memory controller and graphics. Single core, hyper-threaded. starting at $299, they claim battery life just under 10 hours. And the Dell one is actually the only one that has a screen resolution of 1366 by 768.
Oh, that's usable.
That's a good resolution. The other one, the MSI ones, are 1024 by 600.
Mm.
So significantly lower. I'll be curious. I guess I need to see them side by side. Is 1366 by 768 going to create too fine of a pixel ratio for a screen that's 10 inches in size? You know, it's kind of one of those things you have to see in person to really kind of evaluate. But they also are going to have options for WAN, so support for, I assume it's AT&T and T-Mobile SIM card-based networks, GPS option. And then they're going to have the option for the Broadcom Crystal HD video decoder, which I'll talk about once we get through the rest of these couple of other machines. MSI previewed a couple of other ones, the U135 and the U160.
Those are pretty. Yeah, they look good.
Looks really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks a little bit different. If you look at the 135, the blue one, it looks very much like every other netbook we've seen. It looks just like the Dells above it in terms of form factor. When you're talking about when so much of your platform is pre-designated, what kind of connections you can have, what processor you have, what speed it's going to be at, it really, I mean, all the shells look very much the same. So you're talking about what kind of differences can you do in coloring and on the back and style keyboard do you have. Like the U160 has the chiclet style keyboard, which could be nice on a netbook machine. Still 10-inch screen, still Windows 7 starter, 1 gig of memory, 250 gig hard drive, all that kind of stuff. No prices on it yet, but I would assume somewhere in the $350 to $399 range for it as well. So I mean, we are right in the center of low cost machines. If you're comfortable with everything we just discussed beforehand, you know, looking into one of these would be really cool. I mean, still having one around the house would, I think, be beneficial. I worry about people depending on these as their primary machines.
That's kind of what I've always said, is it's a second machine. But
yep.
I really like what you said about it's a disposable computer. It's not ready for the next generation. That's something to underscore for people, so they understand you're buying this for 1 year.
Yep.
And then you're going to throw it out.
Yep.
Is that really what you want to do?
Yeah. Comfortable with
that? Will there be something to succeed the N450? Will there be a better Atom chip in 6 months and another one and another one and another one? Or is there any incentive for them to do that?
I don't think so. These platforms don't really progress in that manner. I mean, the entire time we had the original Atom processor, we didn't see any frequency boosts. We didn't see any major feature changes. We saw iterations of it that maybe went from 256 to 512K of cache and that kind of stuff, but it didn't drastically change anything.
And of course, they're meeting in the middle with the tablets that are coming, and even mm-hmm. smartphones today. My mm-hmm. N900 or a Droid or an iPhone is really a much, in my opinion, a better alternative, frankly, than this even at this point.
Yeah, it's tough. So I would think I would rather have one of these than depend on my iPhone or my Pre to do some of the things, because I mean, at least on this, you can install applications. You don't have these limitations of what operating system you're using on your phone. Flash is another, you know, video going to all these different websites. True. And that kind of thing.
Although the N900 has Flash, it's a little computer. It has a pretty good screen. I can't remember. It's 800 by 480, something like that. I mean, usable. It's not as big as a netbook, but
it's here. You have a keyboard, and I mean, I think there are advantages to this that take it away from phones. And I think that the tablets that will come out will be much higher, much more expensive than these types of netbooks, because right. they really are kind of cookie cutter based. And while that's a negative in terms of creating a unique device, it is a positive in terms of lowering price and getting things out for really low amounts.
Right.
Which I did mention the Broadcom chip right before this. And what's interesting is you'll notice with Pine Trail, they integrate graphics into the CPU. Well, what does this do for NVIDIA and its Ion chipset? So if you remember with the previous generation of Atom processors, we recently have started seeing Ion chipset-based units start to be released. And what's cool about that is Ion is, the Ion itself is actually a chipset. It had a memory controller in it. It had integrated graphics. It had storage controllers, USB, all that kind of stuff. Anything you needed, it basically just connected to the processor through the front side bus. Well, now that we've moved the integrated, now that we've moved graphics and memory controller onto the CPU die, where does that leave NVIDIA? And it leaves it in a fairly negative spot for a couple of reasons. One, they don't really have a need for a chipset anymore because that functionality has been integrated into the processor, just like we saw on the desktop with Nehalem architecture. Same thing. And also, interestingly enough, the Pine Trail platform uses the DMI connection to connect between the processor and the chipset, which NVIDIA does not have a license to use.
Huh.
This is the same reason NVIDIA did not make a chipset for Linfield.
Right.
The desktop part is because it uses DMI.
We talked about that, I remember. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Intel was going to sue them.
Right. And they did sue them to the point where, NVIDIA basically said we were going to make Linfield chipset up until 2 weeks after Linfield was launched.
Never mind.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, fine. So the same thing is happening here. Well, as it turns out, what NVIDIA is planning on doing is releasing Ion, what we're going to call Ion 2. I think that's going to have a different name, but it will essentially just be a discrete graphics solution, a single chip graphics solution that connects through PCI Express to the chipset. So it will kind of go back to a three chip solution because you'll have the processor, chipset, and then an Ion chip. So this puts NVIDIA in a bad spot though, because they're really in Intel, you know, simplified the architecture and the layout and the design that these board engineers would have to create. And NVIDIA is now asking people to please complicate it, recomplicate it, and we promise you that the benefits that our chip provide will be valuable to your customers so that it's worth your time and effort to do that. And really what they're pushing today, what can you do on an Ion NVIDIA graphics solution that you can't do on the integrated graphics? You can do modest gaming if you're interested at all in that on a nettop, maybe, but definitely not on a netbook. You can do HD video decode, so you can do Blu-ray decode if you have a Blu-ray drive attached to a system. You can do 1080p video download. It does flash acceleration. It accelerates video files and all of your ArcSoft and CyberLink software and all that kind of thing that the integrated graphics on Pine Trail, on the PineView CPU, on the actual Atom N450, cannot do. So that's kind of their goal here. And obviously they'll push GPU computing applications as well, things like video transcoding, which, again, I don't really think people that are using netbooks are really focused on that type of application. I would say the biggest problem that NVIDIA is going to have going forward is Intel partnering with Broadcom. I don't know if you'd heard about this yet.
No.
Broadcom, basically, they are relaunching. It's a chip that's existed for a while. It's the BCM70015. The fancy name they use is the Broadcom Crystal HD chip. And it essentially is a dedicated graphics processor. Video processor. Much like you have experimented with H.264 encoding and decoding USB devices or PCI Express devices at TWIT, this basically does the same thing, but it basically does the functions of accelerating Blu-ray playback, accelerating HD video playback, accelerating Flash as well. Adobe just released a Flash.
This is a whole new category. The smart USB thing.
Yes. No, but this is an internal chip. Oh,
it's internal. Okay. But it won't be long before they'll make a USB with it too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And so this kind of butts into NVIDIA's area with as far as, well, look, here's why Ion was better.
Right.
Because
it had H.264 hardware decode.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if this Broadcom chip can do the same
everything.
Thing as they say it can for less money, less power consumption, and Intel has already created a reference platform using it for guys like ASUS and Acer and HP to use, then will NVIDIA be able to convince these manufacturers to integrate its chip? What is gaming really going to be important enough that people will want to pay extra for it or spend extra time for it? GPU computing applications.
If you can play Plants vs. Zombies, casual gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it good enough to play Far Cry? No.
And the thing is, I think the the integrated graphics on the N450 processor will probably be able to play Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah,
but it won't be able to play Sims 3.
Ah, people might want to play that.
You gotta find those mainstream games. So like Sims games and Spore and those other types of mainstream games.
You think people want to play those on netbooks?
I don't know. I don't think they want to play them on netbooks. I think what they might want to do is play them on net tops.
Right.
So remember, I think 2 weeks ago or last week, we talked about the computer that was small enough that ASUS gave to you with a mount. You could plug it on the back of your monitor.
We're going to get some of those. Colleen's all excited because that's what Skype Source is going to be. The next 2.0 is going to have the monitor will be the computer.
Yes. I mean, and that's, would a user buy that and think, well, maybe I want to play World of Warcraft? There's a game that's very, very popular, runs on old desktops.
Doesn't need much horsepower, but I don't think this is going to be enough.
I don't think the Intel,
especially with 1 gig of RAM.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true too.
You're going to have to put in 2 gigs, and even then,
I think putting in 2 gigs, having an Ion platform, dual core Atom versus single core Atom.
Then you're right. Then you could do it.
We might be able to do it. When we did some dual core Ion based, dual core Atom based Ion testing originally, going from a single core to a dual core made a big difference. It still wasn't anything up to what PC gamers.
Is it still 512 megs L2?
512K.
They do.
And yeah, for a single core and then 1 meg for a dual core. So
it's pretty crappy.
Yeah, it's not great, right? But you've got to see, well, what will people try to do with it? You basically have to predict what people try to do with this system to a point where they won't complain about it.
Right.
Right? So
right.
It's interesting.
One of the reasons, if you don't have a CD-ROM, if you don't have a spindle, that's one of the reasons you don't give them a spindle, because they sure as heck aren't going to be putting Sims or World of Warcraft on there. They might put Plants vs. Zombies on there. Or Bejeweled.
But now some of the net tops, actually, what's interesting, some of these net tops are going to ship with a Blu-ray drive.
Then they're asking for trouble.
Because.
They're blurring the line.
I mean, I think the market for.
Will they play a Blu-ray movie?
Yes, that's the benefit.
So it's
of the
a player.
Set.
It's a Blu-ray player.
Right. I mean, for $299,
okay.
$399,
okay.
You get a computer with a Blu-ray player.
That's a compelling, you know what? That's a compelling product.
And will consumers try to put some modest games on it? That's the kind of stuff. I would put that downstairs, attached to my computer.
I think it's a media player. TV. I don't know if it's a game machine.
And you know,
I guess maybe.
Play Plants vs. Zombies on a 55-inch TV or something like that. That could be fun, right?
Yeah. Now you got me interested. So we'll see. I like this Tegra. Is this Tegra 2 or Tegra 1?
This still would be Tegra 1 unless something changes at CES.
This is a tablet from who? Who's making this?
A company that I've never heard of, and this is why we're a little bit skeptical. The company is called Notion Inc., and I've never heard of them.
So this could even be a concept illustration. There's no guarantee this is a real thing.
Well, if you click to the Slash Gear article there, which is linked underneath that picture, they actually have screenshots of it running and viewing a web page, viewing the Slash Gear web page. So it was functional. It was working.
You trust Slash Gear and stuff like this?
Kind of. I mean, not really. I mean, I'm not going out of my way to vouch for it.
Because that doesn't look. That looks Photoshop.
It does. It looks
that's,
like a
that's an Art like Lebedev design. That's rendered, right. Baby.
They say they're going to be at CES.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. But I mean, you look at some of these specs.
The specs
that
are
picture
pretty,
you have right there.
Yeah.
1.7 pounds, GSM support, HSDPA support, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 2.1, GPS.
So it's a phone. Has EVDS?
No, I think that's just for mobile browsing.
Okay.
I guess you can use it as a phone.
It's 3G.
Too.
It's 3G data, but not phone. No, it says cellular. Well, I guess maybe they mean edge.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it could be a phone. It's got Bluetooth. You could hook up Bluetooth.
Why not?
Use it as a
1080p
phone.
H.264 decode.
Mm-hmm.
Flash acceleration.
Yep.
It's 1024 by 600, which is not ideal.
10.1-inch screen, which is in 1024 by 600. It's basically the monitor of one of those netbooks.
Right.
Just ripped off with, you know, hardware. In the
comes
in,
with a camera.
Yep.
Huh.
Accelerometers, proximity sensors. You'll notice it has something there called a water sensor. I'm really not quite sure that supposed to be?
They're just throwing shit. They're just throwing stuff in now at that point. You know what the water sensor is? It's a little piece of paper that turns pink if you drop it in the toilet. That's not.
I don't know why that's a feature for
not
the consumer.
It's not a feature. That's not a feature.
USB, HDMI. It looks really cool. It's powered by NVIDIA Tegra, which
that's powerful enough to be pretty. Yeah, I mean that's credible, right?
Fit in that small spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if they said they had Atom in there,
Zune HD.
Yeah, it's basically a Zune HD with a bigger screen, essentially.
Yeah.
And with actual cellular support, which the Zune HD could use.
Sure could.
So, but I thought that was pretty cool, worth showing off.
48 hours of standby, 16 hours of browsing the web between charges. Now, see, that's the thing. These things are going to start selling on battery life. That's going to be a very interesting feature.
So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if we never see this again.
And it runs on Android.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think this is a concept. That's clearly a rendered image. And it bothers me that the slash gear pictures don't show the device. They just show the screens.
Yes, that's true.
That's really weird.
They could be fooling us all, but hey, they didn't get any of my money yet, so I'm okay with speculating at this point.
Speculation. Question. Really, the interesting speculation is that a market? Does it get you excited?
I heard you guys talking about that on Sunday.
Well, I'm just the guy who thinks there's not a market there. I'm obviously wrong because everybody and their brother says there is.
What I would rather have. I'd rather have that same functionality built into a convertible tablet laptop because I think there are uses when you would want to use a tablet
like your new Lenovo. Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But have the software work the way I want and have it be like a touch interface as opposed to a stylus interface. Right. Because there are instances where I think that'd be really cool to walk around with it and use it and read with it and that kind of stuff if it can have the same type of battery life. But there are also times where, hey, I want to use a keyboard. I don't want to have to use a stylus to type. I don't want to have to use my thumbs to type, all that kind of stuff. It really needs to be a convertible device, I think, to really catch on.
Speaking of keyboards...
Yeah,
you got the Asus. No, this isn't from Asus. This is a competitor to the Asus E keyboard. So this is a computer in a keyboard.
Yeah, it's not really a competitor to the E keyboard. When you see it, you will know.
It's kind of clunky, and it's running Linux.
It's a $99 device.
Oh, I like that.
And it's using an X-Core 86 Vortex system on a chip processor clocked at 1 gigahertz.
That's really slow. Huh? Yeah,
It's going to be a slow machine. Yeah. It only uses 5 watts of power apparently, but it has. it has Ethernet support, VGA.
Oh, look at the back.
Keyboard integrate, USB ports. It's a fully functional computer running Linux for $99.
It's called the Gecko Surfboard.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is another one of those stories, like from a company I've never really heard of doing something.
There's going to be 80 booths selling this kind of thing at CES in the Taiwan Pavilion.
Right.
It's easy to do.
Yeah. And for $150, you can get it with Windows XP. But, you know, the reason we brought up the E keyboard, the Asus E keyboard, because that was going to be a more expensive device. We saw it last CES. We've never seen it since. Right. And we saw it kind of like show up in rumors again.
It was a concept when they showed it last year.
It never went on sale. Yeah. But it was really cool. Instead of the number pad, it had a touchscreen, like iPhone size touchscreen device.
Some of the stuff they showed at that event had showed up, like the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that was the first place they showed the tablet EPCs. And those did show up in Europe and Asia. They never came out in the U.S. And that's kind of what you expect when you go to these press events at CES. They're trying to be exciting. They're trying to show you really interesting things. And sometimes that requires them to be forward-looking in their development. Maybe show off something before they're 100% sure it's going to be saleable at their prices.
This is a cloud computing device.
Yeah, I mean, we talked. Processor. Alan and I were talking about this, and he said, you know, this could be something that would be a great terminal.
That's PC. What it is, essentially.
Right? And they even have, they apparently are going to have options. It doesn't have integrated wireless, which is one thing I think it should have.
They need that.
But they're going to have a separate module for that, and even a module for 3G cellular, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I'm talking on my keyboard. Hello, Mom. I'm talking on my keyboard phone. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So it's
that's pretty funny. All right.
It's interesting.
Hey, you know what? This is just priming the pump for CES. We're really excited. There's going to be some very interesting stuff. And when you go to CES, you cover the TVs, you cover the car stereo, but you also go to that dim hall where all the Taiwanese companies are showing weird crap like this. And it's always interesting and fun, and I count on you for some good stuff.
You always got to wander around and see what you find. Yeah. You know, you never know.
I'm really excited. I haven't been to CES since 2004.
So, I have unfortunately been to every CES since 2004.
I know. So. Hey, did you get a contest winner from last week?
Yes, we picked a winner. Actually, I guess we picked two winners, right?
What did you give away? Tell me again.
I gave away a Gigabyte mouse, that really fancy Gigabyte mouse. Unfortunately, they are at the office still, so I apologize. I can't hold them up for you anymore. It was the did I include photos of it from last week? I'm not sure.
Oh, no, it's all right. I know. I believe you.
You don't really believe me. Trust me, there were mice involved.
I don't really care.
We were giving them away. I'm really beyond caring.
To who won? Who won?
We had two winners, Ken Knapp and Jeff Davidson.
Okay.
We will be emailing them to get their address and send them their free mice.
Congratulations, Ken and Jeff. You were big, big winners.
I'm gonna pick two new winners right now, just completely randomly, because we have a lot of these mice.
That's Jim how good Rich, they are. They're reproducing.
Jim Rich and Sean Atherton.
You made my hat stand on end. That's how exciting this is.
Oh, my. We have gone there.
Somebody's gotten into the eggnog, that's for sure. You're going to have a great... Say those names again.
Okay. Let's see.
You're going to send them an email. They'll find
Sean Atherton.
Sean.
Ken Knapp.
And Ken.
Jeff Davidson. Jeff and Jim Rich.
And Jim. All right. Congratulations, guys. You have won four mice. That's how much we love you. One each. Next week, you're going to be back. It'll be kind of New Year's Eve time, and I'm sure we'll be ready to celebrate. And then it's off to CES, and we're going to have a great time there with you, Ryan. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We'll figure out time to do another shortened version of Twitch from the show.
We don't have to shorten it, because you've got everything. You could make it
have a lot of stuff to bring by, I'm sure. So.
Yes. Thank you, Ryan Shrout. We'll see you next week. Everybody go to PCPer.com for all the articles about everything we talked about, and stay tuned, because tonight, are you going to do the PCPer?
No, we did that. We did that last night.
Forget
actually.
It. Don't stay tuned. Go away.
Stay tuned for the reruns.
Stay tuned for reruns on most of these.
But no, we had too many conflicts with people later tonight, so we recorded a podcast yesterday. Okay. But next week.
Next week, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. Happy holidays to all your family.
Merry Christmas.
Take care, Ryan.
Bye.